Okay. I can't use the pulpit. You got to understand, I'm one of you. I'm not a pastor, okay? So you're just going to have to bear with me a little bit today and work with me. But let's pray. My Father, please use me. Please give me your words. If they're my words, throw them away. Just let your words come out. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I have my little handy-dandy note cards. I'm not a professional. I don't have them all memorized, okay? And yes, if you haven't noticed, Pastor Dominic is not here today. So the treasure is here today. And what does a treasure like to speak on? Yes, that's right. It's giving, okay? But before you turn it off online up there on me, I'm not going to talk about tithing. I'm not going to talk about, you know, should I only give money? Can I give grain? Can I give stocks? I'm not going to talk about should I give once a week, once a month. I'm not going to talk about what percentage or how much you should give. I am going to strictly focus on giving is worshiping. I want you to understand why Jesus asked you to give. Why does God ask you to give? Because it's all about worshiping, okay? It's about the heart, okay? Giving is about the heart. God wants your first fruits, okay? That's what he asked for. He wants your first fruit because your first fruits represent where your heart is. Let's read Exodus 34, 19 to 26, so you know that I'm just not making this up. If we can flash that up on the screen there. The first offspring of every womb belongs to me, including all the firstborn males of your livestock, whether herd or flock. Redeem the firstborn donkey with a lamb, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem all your firstborn sons. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Okay, next slide. 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and the harvest, you must rest. Celebrate the festival of weeks with the first fruits of your wheat harvest and the festivals of the ingathering at the turn of the year. Okay? That's where I'm coming up with this information. It is from Scripture. He wants your first fruits. He is telling you, this is an Exodus, okay, which is the second book in the Bible, and there may have been even a reference in Genesis, but I just don't happen to know that one, okay? So, but I do know that he talks about an Exodus, about bringing your first fruits. There are other scriptures, real quick, that I'm going to refer to. Pull out my Bible here. And again, this is an Exodus. Take off my glasses so I can read it. Okay, Exodus 23, verse 7. Let's see here. This is verse, I got it on my notes, 15 and 16 of chapter 23. No one is to appear before the Lord empty-handed. Celebrate the harvest with your first fruits of your crops you sow in your field. Okay? Then in Revelations, it talks about his first fruits. Now, in Revelations, we're talking, this is the end times. This is during the tribulation. This is what's going on. And it says here, then I look, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. With him, 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven, like the roar of rushing waters, and like the loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was, let's hear, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. So no lie was found in their mouths, and they were blameless. Okay? So basically, from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end of the Bible, we're still talking first fruits. That is what God wants. He wants your first fruits because that's where your heart is. Okay? Now, he does give an example of just the opposite. So let's look at Luke. Many of you know this one. It's the beginning of the chapter 21. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting in their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow, and she put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "this poor widow has put more in than any of the others. All these people gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. Put all she had and all she lived on." Okay? Jesus wants our first fruits. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you today, it is better to plan your giving in advance and give $10 than it is to open your wallet today and go, "Oh, there's a 20. I can just throw it in." Okay? He wants you to plan to love him. Giving him leftovers does not really love him. But planning what you give him, bringing your first fruit, knowing what you want to do, is a sign of love and commitment to him. It is a form of worship, is what it is. I'm going to tell you a secret now, okay? It's a very honest little secret. God does not need your money, but he desires your love. God does not need your money, but he desires your love. And I'll prove this one to you, too, as well. Psalms 50, starting with verse 7. If you flash that up for me, please. Now I got to put my glasses back on so I can read that far. "Listen, my people, and I will speak. I will testify against you, Israel. I am God, your God. I will bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifice or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me." Next slide, please. "I have no need of your bull from your stall or your goats from your pen. For every animal on the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." This is a God speaking with authority. Everything's his. He doesn't need your money. He desires your love. Okay, Dan, you may say, and I've heard people say this before, "God doesn't need his money. I know that, but the church does, okay? It's my job to keep the doors open." That is such a prideful statement, folks. That is a prideful statement. If that's what you're doing, is giving money to keep the doors opening and you're not worshiping when you give your money. The church is the bride of Christ. Are you telling me that Christ is going to let his bride suffer? He doesn't love her enough to take care of her? He has everything and he's going to make her suffer? And he's going to leave it to you to make sure she's taken care of? No. You give because you want to worship. He asks you to worship in this way. Now you're probably asking yourself, "Okay, Dan, you've convinced me. Why should I give? Why should I give it all?" Because where you spend your money, where you spend your first fruit, is where your heart is. Okay? He wants you to do a heart check. He does not want you to be greedy and selfish. Greedy and selfish are just the opposite of giving. You can't be both. Greed is about what is in it for me, what is best for me, what is my desires, what I want. And giving is all about quietly sharing for the needs of others with nobody knowing what's going on. That's what giving is. Okay? They are opposites. Think right now about the word greedy. Did any of you think a positive thought when you thought that in your head? Did any of you think, oh, that's a good word? No, yeah, you know? They're opposites. God asks you to share so you are not a greedy person. And if you bring your first fruits to him, the rest is yours. Right? Enjoy it. He provided for you. Enjoy what is left. Have financial freedom. And enjoy what he's given you. Now, there's a lot of you out there that laughed a little bit when I said, you can enjoy financial freedom. But you really can. Okay? You really can enjoy financial freedom. And if you're not enjoying financial freedom, talk with me. I'm serious. Talk with Dan Rupp at this point. Okay? If you don't want to talk with me, talk with Pastor Dominic. I'll give him names of other people. It's okay. But as a member of this church, we want you to enjoy financial freedom. And when I say that to people, they get tensed up and they think, oh my gosh, this is going to be a long, drawn-out process. He's going to take me through the ringers. And the answer is no. I'm going to give you three quick examples. Okay? The first example is there was a young couple, and this was probably, oh, 20-some years ago that I was dealing with. You know, so don't look around the room and think it's all just somebody here. No, it's a while ago. They came and they said, okay, we're ready for financial freedom. And I said, okay, let's sit down and talk. And, you know, it was the typical, well, she's got too many, you know, clothes and he's spending too much on his truck and, you know, the back and forth. And it was like, okay, here's what I need you to do. And I gave him a list of things that I needed to help him out. So we talked for 15 minutes to a half hour, not very long. They had about a 15 to a half hour project to get stuff around to bring back to me. And they brought it back to me. And so then I started putting them into the formulas. You know, there's secret little formulas that aren't so secret, but they seem to be to people. And trust me, I didn't make them up. I'm not that smart. And I put them in the little formulas, and I'm going through, and I'm working, and it all comes out that they should be financially free. And I'm going, oh, no. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So I must have done a math there, you know. So I start working through the formulas again, and it still comes out okay. And I'm going, oh, Lord, please, show me what I'm doing wrong. I know from talking to these people, they want financial freedom, and they don't have it. And we're talking a little bit, and then the wife speaks up. And she goes, remind me Tuesday, I owe the motorcycle insurance. Motorcycle insurance? You have a motorcycle? Well, yeah. I said, tell me everything that you have for your automobile expense. She goes, well, a motorcycle isn't an automobile expense. And I said, let me guess. You're paying, and then I don't remember the exact amount, but we'll use $300 for an example. You're paying about $300 a month on your monthly payment for your motorcycle. Well, it's $295. I said, the formulas were showing me you are $300 a month behind. That's why it's so much pressure. I said, not only that, you're paying insurance, right? And this is February. Where's the motorcycle at? It's in storage. Another charge. Yep. And all they had to do to find financial freedom was to eliminate the motorcycle. They were over their budget in automobile expenses. They had a proper amount for house, proper amount for food, clothing. They were all set. Yeah, I could tell the husband was a little disappointed. But the wife even spoke up and says, yeah, but we like going out riding together. Do you like it that much? No. It was that simple. Probably altogether, they may have worked a month, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, to get financial freedom. It is sometimes, it's a very simple thing. The second example I'll share with you is how easy it is sometimes. Is I had a lady talking with me. She goes, Dan, she goes, I have a job and I have a coworker. We make the same amount of money. And the coworker husband and my husband don't have the same jobs, but we've talked. We know they make the same amount of money. We basically have the same house payment. We've talked. We talked about the car payments. We've talked about everything in our lives. We are so close to being identical. But every year, she goes on a cruise, or she'll take a shopping spree and go out and buy all new clothes, or she'll do something very special every once a year for a weekend. And I can't do that. What am I doing wrong? And I looked at the lady and I says, you're a Christian, aren't you? She goes, yeah. And I go, I do your tax return, right? Yeah. So I know how much you tithe. And you do tithe, you know that, right? Yeah. Is the other lady that you work with a Christian? No. She doesn't tithe. She's going on a cruise and going on a shopping spree and spending the money on herself. And you're tithing. You're giving it away. I never thought about that. I'm happy with what I'm doing. I like that idea. And she went from sorrow for 2 years to joy, knowing that she was serving the Lord. And it took a 15-minute conversation. The third one, I had nothing to do with counseling on. A person walked into my mobile home park. And this was 20-some years ago, too. And they looked at me, and they said, we'd like to buy a new double-wide. I said, great. And they picked out this beautiful new double-wide, biggest one in the park, all decked out. And I go, this is great. And they're going, yeah, we got to downsize. That's why we're in here. You know, we went to financial counseling, and we realized we were spending all of our money on our house. And we just need to downsize. Okay? It was that simple. So about 6 months after they moved in, I asked them, well, how's your house? You know, wanted to make sure everything's going well. I hadn't got any complaints, so I knew it was. It was easy to ask. And they said, you know, Dan, I thought I would get criticized. I thought people would laugh at me. I thought people would say, you know, how foolish you are. But people, when I told them I was downsizing, they were like, good for you. They were actually happy. You know what the biggest surprise was? 95 to 97% of the people didn't give a rip what I did. You know, they really don't care. But my wife and I, when we were talking about this, Satan was pulling on us saying, oh, people are going to think you're foolish. People are going to think that you're a loser. People are going to think you don't know how to manage things. And it was a simple move. It was a simple move. Financial freedom may be a long struggle, but for a lot of people, it's just a short tweaking. Okay? If you don't have financial freedom today, talk with somebody. Okay? I also should define for you what financial freedom is. Financial freedom is not making more money. Financial freedom is living it within the zone that God gave you. Some of us are living in a zone that God gave us in the poor region. Some of us are in middle class. There are even extremely few Christians that are in the wealthy class. But we live in a zone. So we don't have too much and we don't have too little. And I will prove that one to you too, that statement, by reading Proverbs 7, 8, and 9. If you'd flash that up for me, please. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Next slide. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor you and dishonor the name of my God. Okay? Scripture spells it out. You are in a certain zone. That doesn't mean over time that zone may not slide a little bit. But if you don't think getting more money will take you above your zone, oh, please look at the lottery winners. There's whole TV shows based on how they talk about it ruining their lives. What is it? Something like 90% of them say their lives were better off before they ever won the lottery. Why? Because they were moved outside that zone. And it caused anger and bitterness, and there was pressure on them. And they didn't know how to handle the money. They never earned it. It didn't come slowly. Look at your movie stars and your sport athletes. I do not care about Britney Spears, but I cannot walk through the grocery line without hearing about her mental illness and how her and her parents are fighting over her wealth. Right? It didn't come. And please understand, your zone may be something for money, but you also have different zones in knowledge. I'm not the brightest person. There are far more brighter people than me, but I look at them and I just shake, you've got too much knowledge, or at least you think you do, because you still think man came from a monkey. You've given us all these examples and all these scenarios, and you've done all the science, and somehow you've confused yourself. And then there's the zone of fame. Now, if you want to talk about being in a poor zone, in the poorest of the poor, that's me, okay? I can barely play the radio, let alone an instrument or sing, okay? I have to tell you and confess to you, there was a little bit of me that actually liked COVID for just a short time, but I did like COVID because the church was restricted to only those that could be up front could come to church. Do you remember that when that first took place, right? Well, I still came to church because I self-appointed myself the person to make sure that nobody was there that wasn't supposed to be there, okay? And I got to sit way in the back, and I got to sing as loud as ever, and I didn't bother a person, okay? Oh, I'm glad COVID's over and you're all coming back. That's good to me. But for a few weeks, though, boy, I got to enjoy myself, okay? And I really got to worship. But take somebody like Pastor Dominic. You know, you've heard his testimony before. He had a ballad wrote up. He was making it, what was it, Columbia Records or whoever that offered him $100,000 and they were going to give him another $100,000, and this is back in the 70s. He was on the stage, he had the fame, and when he became a Christian, he threw it in the trash and walked away. Boy, I look at that and I go, Dan's down here at the bottom. You know what I would have done with that? I'd have had no relationship with God at all. If God would have gave me that kind of talent. Okay? Financial freedom is to enjoy the zone that you're in, not to try to get to the next zone. How many times have you talked to people that are frustrated? Oh, I've done this to try to make more money, and I've done that, and every time I try to make more money, things don't work out, and they're always looking for the next scheme, and they're just sitting there bumping their head at the top of their zone. Okay? In summary, I got three things that giving is not, and three things that giving is. Okay? Giving is not keeping the doors open. We've talked about that. Giving is not to get more. I'm going to stand right here firmly right now and tell you, those TV evangelists that say, just send me $20 and God's going to multiply it 10, 20, 50, 100, 1,000 times more. And they'll pull out a scripture and they just say, send me your money and God's going to do that for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, they can't tell you that because they don't know what zone you're in. Folks, sometimes people blow it even in the small zones. Hey, I got an extra $50. Let's buy a case of beer and a bottle of bourbon. Let's go get drunk tonight. They've got 50 extra bucks and all they're going to do with it is sin. Right? Wow. I just got an extra $10,000. Let's buy the fishing boat. When are you going to fish? Sunday mornings for the next 10 weeks. Right? It doesn't have to be the lottery winner. Sometimes it's just even the small things. And if God was going to bless you 1,000 times more for sending in that $20 check, why doesn't that evangelist send you the $20 check and him get the $1,000 more? Man, he's got a whole mailing slip. He could be a millionaire over every day. If that was really true. Do not believe for one instant that because you give 20 more, you're going to get 1,000 more back. However, if you give your first fruits and God sees that you love him, he takes care of you. He takes care of you. He is a good father. There's scripture in there that says, you know, he doesn't give you snakes and rocks to eat. He gives you your bread for your day and he takes care of your needs. Third thing is, don't give him your leftovers. Don't come to church and go, well, what do I got today? Make it your first fruits. That's really what I'm all about, is the first fruits. Remember, I'm not talking how much or what percentage or how often. Just plan. Plan what your first fruits are and then carry it out. Love him. Love him. When the plate is passed, say thank you. Say I love you when you throw that in. Three things that it is. Giving is loving God. Okay? It's buying him a birthday present or a Christmas present. Think of it that way. Think of it as buying roses for your wife is an expression of your love. And in my case, it's buying chocolates. Anybody that knows my wife, she loves her chocolates. Okay? So think of it as giving in that way when you do it. Giving is getting rid of greed. We've talked about it. Okay? If you give your first fruits to God, you're not a greedy person. And do I have another? Yeah, I got a little more time. I'll share another little example of that. Okay? Back way before COVID, you know, the Rotary, I believe it was, they had casino night. And I donated some prizes because they had a good fundraising for things that were going on. And so I got some free tickets to go. And, you know, we're just going to go. We're having a good time. This isn't about making money and all that. It's just a form of entertainment. And so I go, and my wife and another couple. And we go in, and, you know, I got my limit, my $50 that I'm going to spend for out of my entertainment budget. And my wife, you know, it's got her, what she wants to spend for hers. And so we talked about it, and, okay, we'll buy five here, 10 on this, and it's all going to a good cause, and, you know, no big deal. And there was a couple gentlemen there, and they were spending hundreds and maybe even $1,000 betting on things. And everybody was making a big deal about it, and they were whooping it up, and everybody was having a good time. And the lady that came with us, our friend, she looked at me and she goes, man, isn't he a generous person spending all this money? And I stopped her right there in the middle of the floor, and I said, No. I know that this person is not a Christian. This person is coming in. He's coming in for a good time. He's spending all this money. He's drawing attention to himself. Everybody's thinking what a great guy he is. He's going to get half of it back anyway. So if you spend $1,000, you get $500 of it back. You know, he knows that. But I know you. I do your tax return. You're going to give more in 1 month that nobody knows about to the Lord than he's going to blow now. And he may even do this 2 or 3 times a year. Bring all this attention to himself and have a great time and do something for a worthy cause. But when it's all done, you're probably going to give 4 or 5 times more. Okay? It's not about the greed. It's not about the, in this case, about the glory and the fame and the attention. Giving is about the private love between you and your God. So the last thing, first fruit giving is so that you can realize who your God is. First fruit giving is so that you realize who your God is. Where do you give your first fruits? Okay, down to my last card. Made a mess on the floor. In closing, go home and pray. Ask the Lord what your first fruits are. First fruits are an individual process. There is no one fits all. And anybody that tells you that there's one that fits all, I'll be happy to have that discussion with you. Okay? Go home and pray. And then start giving your first fruits. Plan on what you're going to do and start doing it.